Matthew chapter 28, we're reading verses 1 through verse 8 this morning. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance, or his face, was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know who you seek, that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Amen. And Father, we pray this morning that you will bless, please bless your precious word to our hearts and our minds this morning. And we thank you for the record of the most momentous event in history. The greatest event ever. We pray, Father, that this story will impact and change and transform lives this morning. Bless your word to that end, O God. For we pray in Christ's name, amen. Amen. It's reported that Martin Luther, who, if you don't know, was a man that God used in an amazing way during a time called the Reformation, which was in the 1500s, that Martin Luther sank into a terrible depression. He got himself into a real funk. And for days on end, he hid himself in his study. And his wife, being a great helpmate, decided that she was going to help him over his depression. So she dressed up from head to toe in black, in widow black. And she went to Martin's study, and she knocked on the door, and when Martin opened the door and saw his wife dressed in black, he panicked. And he said, "Kitty," which is what he called her, "who died?" To which she responded, "Well, Martin, judging by the way you've been acting lately, I thought God had." Now, there's some humor in that, even if you're not laughing this morning. And it would be funnier, I think, that if it weren't so relevant to our lives. Because even though Jesus Christ rose from the grave 2,000 years ago, isn't it true that so often we can live our lives as though he's not alive? As though he's still somewhere back there in a cave, in a tomb, dead. You think about it. Think about the way that we pray sometimes. Think about the way we seek him and the passion by which we seek him. I mean, think about it. Don't you feel sometimes that he is completely indifferent to the things you're going through? The trials, the struggles? And don't you think sometimes that he is just so far away that there really is no help for the sin in your life? Think about how weakly and how pitifully we pray to him at times. I mean, come on. We live so often as though he is dead. As though he hasn't risen from the grave. Like the women in our story. We're told that these women were en route to the tomb that morning. This is the first day of the week. Now, Jesus had said to them, "After 3 days, after I die, I'm going to rise again." And so they should have been going to the tomb and expecting to find Jesus or expecting to see him resurrected. But did they? What were they thinking they were going to see on the way to the tomb? They expected Jesus to be dead, didn't they? We're told that they had brought their herbs and that they were going to anoint Jesus' body. Why? Because they thought he was dead. That's right. And so there they are. They're discouraged. Their hopes have been dashed. They're going to say goodbye, to pay their last respects with all of these fragrant herbs and whatnot. And as they're going, they think to themselves, well, hang on for a second here. We've got a problem. How are we ever going to get into that tomb? Because there's usually that big stone there. What they didn't know was that an angel had come down from heaven, that an earthquake had rocked the ground, that the stone had been rolled aside, that the angel was sitting on it. And when they got there and they saw that the stone had been rolled away, they panicked. And they panicked because the angel of God said to them, "Don't be afraid. You're seeking Jesus Christ who was crucified. He's not here. Where was he? He was risen." That's right. And the counsel that the angel gave to those women that day, the counsel that raised those hearts that were living as though Jesus was still dead, is counsel for you this morning, friends. It's counsel to lift up hearts when you live as though Jesus is not alive but still dead. And friends, you need that counsel this morning. I need that counsel this morning. We need it because we do live as though he's not alive but still dead, still in that grave somewhere. And this morning we're listening to the angel of God and the counsel that he gave to lift hearts like yours this morning. The first is a word of invitation. Come and see the place where Jesus lay. Come and see the place where Jesus lay. I don't know about you, but I guess I, like anybody else, like to see my laundry folded. I like to go up into my chest of drawers. I like to open them. I like to see my clothes neatly folded. I like to see my t-shirts folded. I like to see my pants folded, my sweaters in a neat folded way. But I'll tell you something. When I'm struggling with fears and doubts, when I'm discouraged, when I'm depressed, when I've got temptation in my way, what I don't do is I don't walk up to my bedroom and just look at my wardrobe. I don't pull out the drawers and look at my folded clothes and say, "Ah, that'll do it. I feel like I can take on the whole world." But for these women, the sight of folded clothing changed their lives. Don't turn there now, but in John's Gospel, chapter 20, we're told that the angel said, "Come on in." They went in, they ducked down, they looked around, and what did they see? What did they see? Almost nothing. There was something there in the tomb that day that completely changed their lives. What was it? They saw what? I can't hear you. What did they see? They saw clothing. That's right. Whose clothing? Jesus' clothing. That's right. And it was carefully and tidily folded. The handkerchief, which was wrapped around his head, was folded in one place. And the rest of the grave clothes were folded in another place. Now, I might not be the smartest guy in the world, but this I know. That if you see folded clothing, what isn't there? The body. You can't have a body in folded clothing. And so these women saw that. And what was the immediate deduction? He's gone. He has been raised to life again. And so there these women are. They're on their way to the tomb in the morning. They're absolutely beside themselves with despair and discouragement and hope. They're living as though Jesus is dead. And then they see the folded clothing and their lives are transformed. He's not dead. He's totally alive. Wow. And I just hope this morning that as we listen to this angel speak and invite and say, "Come and seek and see the place where Jesus lay," that he wasn't just talking to the women.
I mean, I hope you see that this morning. I hope that you ever talk to somebody and you just get the impression that they're not just talking to you, but somebody else besides you. It's kind of aggravating, but in this case, it's not. It's great. Because the angel is speaking beyond the woman. He's speaking to all God's people, to you this morning. And the invitation is this. Now, hear this. Come and see the place where he lay. By faith. Stoop down. Come on in. And look around. And see that fold of clothing. And understand this. Get this. He's not dead. He's totally alive. This morning. And you've got to listen to that invitation every day of your lives. You want to know when? I'll tell you when. When you believe that your sin is so great that it's unforgivable. Ever get that way? Ever think of to yourself, I've done so many wicked things. How could God ever forgive me? I've really messed things up. How could God ever look at me with love? Ever think that way? Hands up if you ever thought that way. Okay, the rest of you are not being honest this morning. Okay, we do think that way. And what we've got to do this morning is stoop down and walk into that tomb and look around and see the clothes and understand he's not dead, but he's alive. And that's great news. I'll tell you why. Because as long as he was dead and under the power of suffering, that meant that God's righteous justice had not been completely paid. The fact that Jesus Christ was allowed to be raised to life means this, that God accepted his son's sacrifice in your place. So that when the son said, it is finished, God the Father said, amen, by raising his son to life again. And it means this, friends, that when you are struggling and doubting that God will ever forgive you because you've blown it and you've messed up and your sin is too great, you have to look to the cross of Christ and more significantly to the empty tomb of Christ and understand this, that God has in Jesus Christ forgiven your sins. His justice has been satisfied. And that's where you've got to keep on looking. Do you understand that this morning? So when you come to God and you're in turmoil and you just feel like, oh God, how could you ever love me? I've made such a mess of things. You look to the cross, to the tomb and say, ah, but you know what? You led him up. He was resurrected. That means that he did satisfy the demands of justice. And my sins have truly been forgiven. And it's done. Or when you doubt that you can overcome sin in your life. This morning, how many of you are really struggling with a particular sin and you just have a hard time believing that you'll ever get over it? The track record, thank you for your honesty. The rest of you, I believe, should put up your hands. Yes, thank you for more honesty this morning. My hand's up. We have a lousy track record. But you know what? Big deal. We've got a risen Savior. And just as Jesus Christ was raised from the grave, he has lifted us this morning. Hey, look, if the head is alive, the body is alive. Are you the body of Christ or what? Okay. Well, look it. That means this, that you're alive. And just as Jesus Christ raised his own body, and let's just stop and talk about that for a minute. That is no small thing. Have you ever tried to do that before? Have you ever known somebody who successfully brought himself to life again? I mean, we're talking about huge power there. Okay. Well, you're the body. You're connected to the head. That means that his power is at your disposal this morning. And what you have got to do and what I have got to do is get connected to that power. And you know what I'm talking about. Those of you with cell phones. Do you ever...
I know you probably do. You're always thinking, I got to charge this thing up, right, before I go. I don't want to be stuck without this thing juiced up. And so what do? You plug that thing in the night before. Why? So that the next day you're ready to go, right? Same thing when it comes to Christian life. We have got to be plugging ourselves in. We've got to be connecting ourselves. We've got to be juicing ourselves up by the power of God. Which means this, that we have got to be in communion with God. Look, you cannot live a life of power disconnected from the power source, right? We've got to live our lives close to Him, walking with Him, speaking with Him, saying, God, I need Your strength to overcome the sin. Hey, look, that's how we overcome sin, right? In all of the counseling that I've ever been involved in all the counseling that I've ever given myself, the best counsel is this. Get yourself into the presence of Christ. To the completely omnipotent power source. That's where we fight sin. That's where we overcome sin. Do you believe that this morning? Yeah, I'm glad you do. We're talking about a power so great that it can overcome whatever it is that you're struggling with this morning. And you know what it is you're struggling with this morning. But you know what? Get this. Walk into that tomb this morning. Look around by faith. Understand that He has been raised from the grave. And that that power can be yours this morning to connect to and to walk away from your sin. You know, I don't care how terrible or strong your sin is. What I care about this morning is this, telling you about Jesus Christ and His tremendous power, His great resurrection power. Paul said, I want to know that power, right? I want to know that power. So let's know that power. And let's see that we are invited to understand that He is alive and that His power is yours this morning to overcome. And you need that, don't you? You've got to know that. And you've got to know it when you are struggling and you are in the pit of despair. When life is hard and the difficulties beset you. Yeah, you've got to know that Jesus Christ is alive. Paul said that to Timothy. Timothy had a hard pastoral ministry. And you got to love Paul because Paul goes to Timothy and says, Timothy, remember Jesus Christ who was crucified but is risen now. And he just put the resurrection of Christ before Timothy. Always did, always to the people of God. You read through the epistles, the letters of Paul. That's his big thing. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, he gets real daring. He says, if that's not true, nothing's true. And you're dead in your sins and all is lost. And he hung the whole thing on the resurrection. But he comes to Peter, or to Timothy rather. And he tells him to remember the Lord Jesus Christ who has been resurrected. Why? Because, friends, that's what's going to lift your hearts when you're in the pit. Knowing that someone has already been there before, his name is Jesus, that he's lifted himself out and put himself on the rock and can do the same for those of you this morning. That even though your circumstances might not change, that yet your heart can be lifted and elevated and brought to a better place. A place where you're not losing it and snapping and biting off your kids' heads and barking and shrieking and losing it. But that there is a peace that surpasses all understanding that will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But you've got to get yourself into the cave this morning, into the tomb, and understand that Jesus Christ is no dead Savior but a living one. And we got to understand that when we are looking at a certain death in this life, and we are, the
bad news on the streets this morning, friends, is this. You're going to die. Yep, you're going to die. And some of you know that. And this morning when you got out of bed, you were reminded of that when you heard your bones creaking and you looked in the mirror, right? Yep. We're all on our way down to the grave. That's just the way it is. I was in a town up by Elmont, and we were worshiping, and they asked this dear old saint to lead the Psalms like Stevie was doing this morning, and he got up, and this man must be about 85, 93, and he's wearing the same suit that he bought maybe 40 years ago, and there are stains on it, he was shaving, but he didn't get all of it, you know. And he's hunched over. He's about a foot shorter than he was 30 years ago. And his face is gray. You know the look of death? And I just said, you know what? I didn't say this, but thought it. You probably don't have a lot of time left here. And then he began to sing. And the most beautiful tenor voice you've ever heard, still. And I thought to myself, you know what? It's okay. Yes, you're going to die, my brother. But you know what? God's going to put you back together again, and it's going to be glorious. That's good news, isn't it? Yeah. It's good news for creaking bones and graying hair and the losing of hair and the reality that we're going to die. Hey, listen. God is not going to give Satan any victory at all, which means he's going to take even your bodies and remake them, and they'll be glorious. Just hang on for a while yet, and that's going to happen. But this morning, understand this, that when you begin to look at yourself in the mirror and start to go, oh, when those bones are aching and things stop working, you remember this, that Jesus Christ rose from the grave as the first one out. And he is going to lead in his train a whole host of people and take body and soul and put them back together again, and it is going to be glorious. So that's okay this morning if you're really struggling physically. God's going to do a great thing. And today you groan, but tomorrow God's going to do a glorious thing, all because of what he's done through his Son, Jesus Christ. And the invitation this morning is this. Come and see that. Come and see the place where he lay. He's not dead. He is alive this morning. So there's the first word of counsel. And the second is this. Go and tell others that Jesus Christ is risen. That was the second word of counsel that the angel gave those people. Go and tell. Now, I don't know why the angel said that, because you would just assume that the ladies would go off and tell. I mean, if you were confronted by an angel and say, Jesus is alive, what would you do? Wouldn't you go and tell somebody about it? Well, maybe they weren't. I don't know. The angel said, go do it anyways. And what they do? They went off and they did. They told the disciples about it. And that's a good thing. I'll tell you why. Because these disciples were in a funk. I mean, let's face it. They had pinned all their hopes on Jesus Christ. And now where was Jesus? Well, he was dead, right? And they were down and they were low and they were depressed and they need to be lifted up. And the ladies came with that word. And they said, hey, guess what? He's not dead. He's actually alive. Some of them didn't believe. Others did. Peter and John ran to the tomb and it was empty. And friends, I'll tell you something. There are believers, and maybe even here this morning, who are down and discouraged and living as though Jesus is not alive but still dead. And we need to be the kind of people that will listen to the angel and go and say to our brothers and our sisters that he's not dead, but that he's alive. How many of you this morning have been blessed by somebody coming to you and sharing a little bit about what the risen Savior has done in their life? Oh, would you please do that? If you're having a great experience with Jesus Christ and just a great season with him, and just an awesome time of communion. And tell me what Jesus Christ is doing in your life, because I could really stand to be lifted up. And I think that there are some here this morning who could really benefit the same. Because I'll tell you what happens when you go and tell somebody about what Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, is doing in your life, how He's helped you out of the pit, how He's helping you to cope with the pit, how He's helping you to overcome sin, how you've walked away from that stuff. Man, you know what happens? I'll tell you what happens. Those people say, well, I serve the same God. And can't He do the same for me? And what do? Like Peter and John, they start running for the tomb, you know. I got to see this for myself. I got to experience this firsthand myself. And where do they find themselves? But behold, in the presence of the risen Savior. And that's how it works. And you know what would be great? If when we talk today, and when we're having our coffee, and when you call each other on the phone this week, and when we are together, that we not just talk about the weather and what we've been up to and our vacations, but let's go beyond that. And let's talk about what Jesus Christ is doing in our lives. Let's talk about what the risen Savior means to us. And get excited. This morning, before we had the worship service, I was meeting some people who are new to us. And I was saying, listen, tell me about your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a great blessing for a pastor when he's interviewing people for the Lord's Supper. You get to hear about what Jesus is doing in their lives. And I get encouraged. Hey, look, there are people this morning who are down. You might not know it, but they are. They're down. They're discouraged. Don't assume anything with anybody. Take some time with each other this morning and through the week. Get into each other's lives and talk about what Jesus is doing, the risen Savior, in your lives. Okay? Because that's the word from the angel this morning. Go quickly and tell the others that Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. Because, friends, at the end of the day, we don't want to live our lives as though Jesus Christ is dead when He's not. When He is alive. When He is very much alive. Friends, may we live our lives that way. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we are praying to You in Jesus' name, in the name of the risen Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that Your word would find a way deep in the hearts of Your people, and that it would stay there. That it wouldn't be lost. That it wouldn't be displaced. The devil wouldn't come along and snatch it out. But God, that it would stay there and it would germinate and it would grow up into great fruitfulness and blessing here and everywhere. Father, take Your word and bless it, I pray, to the hearts and lives of this fellowship, Your people, in Christ's name. Amen.